Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. When Hulu unleashes the binge this Friday, what can the world expect? Producer-writer Jeremy Gerlich has a clue, and you'll hear it when he joins me next. And that's the first half of our All Hulu affair. Worldwide sensation Find Me in Paris, back on Hulu this past Friday with Season 3, occupies the second, via creators Jill Gerling and Lori Mather Welch. Also ahead, at least one award show this fall won't be virtual, a bigger Shaq attack, and our classic trivia question. The answer to our last one and our new one premieres. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. Simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow we televise, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and where you want. Get a free book and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televise. More details later in the program. Welcome aboard once again to the program All About TV's Current and Future. 89 humid degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And before we go anywhere, we want to give you the latest as of 2 o'clock this afternoon on both tropical storms that are hitting the Gulf Coast. First up, tropical storm Marco. Right now, it is moving northwest at 6 miles per hour. The winds are gusting up to 40 miles an hour. It looks like it will make landfall tonight with the eye hitting between the Louisiana and the Mississippi border. That's for tonight. Now, tropical storm Laura, as we speak, is now at the western tip of Cuba. That's where the eye is. It's moving west-northwest at 20 miles per hour. Winds gusting up to 60 miles an hour. It is expected to make landfall Wednesday night, Thursday, at either a Category 1 or a 2 hurricane. That is a possibility, and it looks like it could be anywhere between southern Mississippi, Louisiana, that's New Orleans, Baton Rouge included, or southern Texas. So if you're in those areas, in typically with that tropical storm Marco, we're talking about the Louisiana-Mississippi coastline, southern Mississippi and Louisiana coastline. If you're in that area, you still have maybe 3-4 hours to get to higher ground. Everyone else, you still have a few days to make your move if you need to. And don't forget, wherever you are in that vicinity of both storms, check in regularly with the Weather Channel, your local weather forecasters on broadcast or cable, other places, radio as well, and of course, Blog Talk Radio and TuneIn Radio, and we will do our best to keep you posted. Have some wonderful guests for you over the course of the hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Make the call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country and around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is getting busy. We welcome DreamKiller06 into the room, and you can join that person by going to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise, and checking in with our chat room, SimonApple04. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Our guest from The Binge, coming Friday to Hulu, Jeremy Gerlich will join us live from the home of the Orange Men, Syracuse, New York, after these news notes. Count at least one live on-site award special to catch in the months ahead. After Sunday's MTV Video Music Awards from various New York City locations will be simulcast on various Viacom, CBS, cable channels, and on the CW, Telemundo will carry a rescheduled Billboard Latin Music Awards presentation live from Florida on October 21st. Telemundo's special will take place inside the BB&T Center near Sunrise, Florida, with performers using 5 stages spaced throughout the center. Sister Spanish Language Network Universo will simulcast the award ceremony. When TNT NBA studio analyst Shaquille O'Neal completes his playoff commentary role in a few weeks, he'll move on to expand a multi-year run with TNT parent WarnerMedia. Under this pact, O'Neal will develop and oversee new series for NBA TV and possibly HBO Max, appear on CNN's New Year's Eve special, and show elsewhere on TNT, specifically All Elite Wrestling episodes. Now some quickies. Apple TV Plus has assigned Keira Knightley to star in its new drama saga, The Essex Serpent. Zack Snyder is on pace to bring his version of Justice League on HBO Max next spring or summer as a 4-part miniseries first, 4-hour movie later. Shepard Smith's new nightly CNBC Hour of the News will premiere September 30th. And Steve James of Hoop Dreams and America to Me fame will take his next TV project, City So Real, to National Geographic this fall. Subject? The 2018 mayoral race in Chicago. Oh, one more thing. Former Sony and Crackle executive Eric Berger has a new job. Lead Common Sense Network, a for-profit offshoot of the advisory institution Common Sense Media. The unit will develop programming and services geared to kids. It will not only be just television, but also social media and podcasts. and that is NewsNotes for today. And now joining us live from the Hall of the Irishman, Syracuse, New York, the producer-director of the new movie on Hulu premiering Friday, The Binge, Jeremy Gallagher. Jeremy, welcome in.
How you doing? This is very exciting. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. I understand you're up to some big things in the Home of the Orangemen.
We are. It's very exciting. We came here, set up shop, our company, American High. We bought an abandoned high school in Liverpool, New York, which is right outside of Syracuse. And we've made 7 movies so far in the last 3 years. And some of them you may have seen on Netflix. One was called Banana Split, which was in the top 10 list last week. We had a movie called Big Time Adolescence with Pete Davidson that was on Hulu. And we have our biggest movie to date coming out this Friday on Hulu called The Binge with Vince Vaughn.
Would you say that The Binge is your most ambitious movie so far?
For American High, for sure. This is the biggest, most ambitious movie that we've made. Biggest budget, you know, had the biggest. Obviously, Vince Vaughn is a big movie star, and it's also crazy. It's a crazy movie. So we had animals. We had live animals on set. We had massive car accidents. We had a giant musical number. Yeah, it was ambitious for sure for the budget that we made it for.
Now, this movie takes place in an America in the near future where it's sort of a way like The Purge. In The Purge, you have everybody living a pretty nice life, but then one day in the year, you get the chance. If you want to go violent, you can. In this case, everybody is clean and sober, and that's because this is America where everybody is under a rule where you can't drink, you can't use alcohol, except for one day of the year, and that's where your movie comes into play, right?
That is correct. So for one day a year, if you're 18 years old, all drugs and alcohol are illegal. You can do whatever you want. And the idea is that you have that one day to get it out of your system, and then coming off that day, if you survive, you're less likely to do another, to do drugs again. It's a crazy world, and we just wanted to set the table and set rules for the world that our characters are going to go on a very identifiable journey. So it's just about three kids in high school. One wants to find love, one wants to find respect, and one wants to find friends. And it just so happens that they're doing it in this world where drugs and alcohol are legal.
It sounds like there's a little bit of a Wizard of Oz type story. You know, it reminds me of the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. They all wanted to accompany Dorothy on the journey in order to get the heart, the brain, and the courage.
Absolutely, and in the end, they discovered that there is no place like home.
Jeremy, who came up with the idea for the movie, and what invited you to become its producer and director?
So Jordan Van Dyna, who wrote the script. He came up with the idea. He wrote the script. He claims every script that he writes, he claims to come up with the title first and then work backwards. And I read the script. We make high school content. So American High, all we do is focus on the movies that take place in high school that are high school themed. So we've received pretty much anybody who has a script that takes place in high school that's good gets sent to us. And we read through thousands of scripts, and we read this one, and we thought it was such an easy idea, and the script was so funny that we decided to push it forward and make it with Hulu, and it turned out to be a really funny. Turned out we were right. It's a really funny, crazy movie, and Jordan Van Dyna, the writer, is phenomenal. He was with me from the day I read the script and we started developing it to this morning when we're tweeting reviews back and forth.
Was The Purge an influence in any way?
You know, it is. I mean, it's clearly The Purge, the comedy version of The Purge with drugs and alcohol. But we didn't intend for it to be a parody of The Purge. We didn't want it to be like the scary movie of The Purge. We just liked that concept as a way in, and then wanted it to really feel like it was grounded in the world that existed, versus rather than being kind of a scary movie for The Purge. We actually had not seen, neither one of us had actually seen The Purge until it was probably a week before shooting the movie. We were sort of looking at how The Purge set up the world. So we went back and we watched it. Neither one of us are big horror fans. We're both huge comedy fans. So we actually didn't watch. We were inspired, obviously, by the concept of The Purge, but beyond that, it was pretty much we just wanted to make a good, funny movie.
The Binge, by the way, has a very interesting star in the cast, Vince Vaughn. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Also about how the actors who play the teenagers got involved, too. We're speaking with Jeremy Gerlich. He is the producer director of The Binge. It's Hulu's next original movie, and it premieres this Friday on that service, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Jeremy joins us live from the home of the Orange Men, Syracuse, New York, live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Apple will be live from the Big Apple down below Syracuse, where it is now 89 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be in the program. All it takes to interact with us, the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name, GeneKiller 06, is already in the room. We don't know yet we'll be on the next episode Friday afternoon. We have a couple possibilities, but we can tell you that next Monday, join us at a special later time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. We have a very special first guest for you next Monday. Her name is Jessica Goldberg. We featured her on this program when she made her TV series creating debut for Hulu in a series called The Path, starring Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad fame. That was several years ago, and it ran for 3 seasons on that service. And now she is the showrunner for one of the most exciting and awaited Netflix series of the year, the astronaut drama Away, starring 2-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank. Jessica Goldberg, the showrunner of Away, live and exclusive with us next Monday as our lead guest, 3 p.m. Eastern, special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Mark that down, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, right here. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How long did it take to come up with the trio of main cast members?
Oh, we had a pretty good idea of who we wanted to be in the movie, but it was our first movie that we had done in conjunction with Hulu. So there was a lot of back and forth, and there were a lot of approvals that had to happen. So it took about a month and a half to really lock in the trio that we all loved. There's a lot of opinions when you're doing these movies for companies like Hulu, and you have to get many approvals. But I think that everyone is very, very happy that we fought to get the trio that we got, because the result speaks for itself.
Now, on the flip side, how about Vince Vaughn? This seems to be the kind of movie lately that is right up his alley.
Well, Vince and I go back years. I did a movie. The first script I ever sold was called The Golden Tux, and I wrote it for Vince Vaughn. Todd Phillips was producing, and we were going to make that movie 25 years ago. But that movie got held up for whatever political reasons. And Vince asked me to do a movie called The Breakup. So I wrote and produced The Breakup with Jay Lavender. And that just started, that started my friendship with Vince. And we had been talking about doing movies together forever. And when we had the opportunity to write in a role for him, Jordan and I did it. We wrote that part specifically for Vince, sent it to him, and he just came up and really wanted to have, we just had a good time, and people are psyched, because people love Vince, and people love Vince being funny. He just hasn't done it in a while, and it was a great opportunity for him to sort of take some of the pressure of carrying a movie and being a movie star in the film, take some of that pressure off and just allow him to be bad and unlikable and make questionable choices. And I think that's the best version of Vince Vaughn that we all love to see, is the one who isn't the nice Vince Vaughn. So it's great. I mean, it was a dream come true to have him in this movie.
You mentioned that there's quite a bit of satire, quite a bit of comedy in your film, but it also, from looking at the clips, there's a bit of a message, maybe two of them. One you mentioned earlier, There's No Place Like Home, and maybe another one is don't try to drink yourself or booze yourself all over the place, even if you have a particular day to do it.
Well, I think the message that, you know, I didn't really want to take a stance on whether or not you should be drinking or not drinking or jumping off of, you know, getting drunk and jumping off a roof into a pool and doing stupid stuff like that. The bigger thing that I would want people to take away from it is just that high school is a time where you're solidifying your friendships, and those are friendships that you're never going to have friendships like you've had in high school. And you don't have that much time before you're gone, before that part of your life is over and done. And you should really just have fun with your friends, and you should really not wait for the future when, you know, it's carpe diem. And especially now when people can't really do anything. You just take advantage, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And just remember your best friends and take advantage of go say yes and go have a good time. That would be the message.
Your production company, as you mentioned earlier, American Eye, has been in a number of these movies dealing with high school experiences in one way or another. When you do these movies, how much do you encourage the writer, the actors, and yourself as a producer director to incorporate experiences that they or you have had in high school or wish you had in high school into the finished film?
I would say always. I mean, I think any, you know, film's such a collaborative, you know, it's a collaborative medium that I love welcoming anybody who's on set, anybody who's involved, any producer, writer, the actor, to bring their personal experience to the film. Because the more personal something is, the more people can relate to it, rather than just trying to do kind of general guesswork as to what people are going to relate to. Find a story that somebody went through and use that story. And it doesn't really matter, you know, there's a lot of questions of how is high school different today than it was, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You know, it's technology-wise, it's different, but it's, other than that, you know, the same themes apply. It's still the only time, you know, it's still the first time you fall in love, or you think you fall in love, or it's the first time you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's the first time you discover your parents aren't perfect, or, you know, if you learn to drive, you taste alcohol for the first time. So it's all the same, you know, the themes that we explore now, it's all the same themes that were being explored 20, 30 years ago. We just like to tell it through a modern lens. So that's our hope. I don't know if that answers your question, but I got sidetracked.
All right, let's see if we have a caller on the line, and if so, what the question or the feedback is. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Told About. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air.
Chat with Audrey about the whole race thing. So.
Hello. Hi there, it's Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Well, I guess not. That person was not on the line. We'll see if that person does call back. If so, we'll pick them up and hear what he or she has to say. This is Tomorrow Be Televised, a program about TV's current and future. We have Jeremy Gervais with us. He's the producer and director of the new original movie on Hulu that premieres this Friday, The Binge. Hulu available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. If a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Jeremy, make the call. Who's joining us live, by the way, from Syracuse, New York, home of the Orange Men. He is upstate from where I am, of course, in the heart of Nueva York, where it's 89 degrees at the top of the hour and very, very humid. If you have a question or comment, they send our mini-miss with Jeremy, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up for our next half hour, we're going live to two locations, Paris, France, and Ontario, Canada. Why? Because we have another Hulu attraction to showcase for you today. It is the worldwide sensation, Finding Me in Paris. We will have live from Paris one of the co-creators of the show, and that is Joe Gerling, and the other co-creator, Rory McElwells, will join us live from Canada. But We have our classic trivia question of the week, and we will let you know what the answer was to our current question over the last 2 weeks, and a brand new question for you, two prizes in play. Stay tuned. You may be our next winner, and we hope you are. So stay with us in our next half hour. Jeremy, is the future for American Eye going to be continuing to do movies for Hulu and other places, or at some point do you want to do a television series?
We're open to, you know, we're open to television, but for us, we plan on making 6 more movies over the next year and a half in these high school spaces. For me personally, my love has always been the movie format, and I hope one day again soon that people will want to get back into the theater and go have a shared laugh experience for 90 minutes. So for now, we're really focused on making high school movies, but we are open to TV if the right idea came along.
When you do these movies, do you do them all in the same location, or do you mix it up so that you go to different parts of the country depending on the plot line?
Well, we do. The beautiful part about Syracuse, as you know, is that if you go 20 minutes in one direction, you could be in a farm. If you go down in 20 minutes in a different direction, you could be in downtown Detroit. Syracuse offers us the ability to do things that look like we're shooting all over the place. So our focus, we've been really shooting everything here, and our goal is to shoot as much stuff here as possible. But we make it look like we're shooting all over the place.
Is there a breakout performance that you think people should watch out for in The Binge?
It's hard. I really love everyone so much. What I do love is just the trio of Skyler and Dexter and Eduardo. These three guys, I think, I think people are going to love to see them together, and they're going to want to see many more movies with these guys together. So I would watch out for those three guys.
Do you have the idea already for your next movie, whether Syracuse or someplace else? And if so, what's the idea all about? What issues or what the aspects of high school life do you want to tackle next?
Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to announce what it is, but it is focused on two 16-year-old girls who are in trouble and have to go on a crazy road trip. And the goal, we were supposed to start shooting right when COVID hit. We got that threw a little bit of a monkey wrench into our plans, and we're hopefully going to pick up and start shooting as soon as possible. Hopefully we'll be approved in the next few weeks, and we could announce what it is, and we'll be off and running.
Well, a few weeks ago, thanks to Governor Cuomo, everybody got the green light to do film and TV production. I know that here in New York, we're starting to see things rev up. I know also in other parts of upstate New York, in the Socrates, in other areas, we're starting to see interest in film and TV production. By the way, what has it been like to work with Hulu for the first time?
You know, it's been an interesting experience because I know a lot of the people from, you know, I know a lot of people at Hulu from different aspects of my career. And it's a giant corporation, and especially since it was bought out by Disney, there's a lot. You know, you have really creative, really smart people working for Hulu, but everything has to kind of be done by a committee. So everything has to, you know, everything has to be. It's got to be really great in order for them to agree to something. So it's been unlike the movies beforehand, where we were able to kind of have a little bit more of the freedom of just you know, just doing what it was we wanted. With working under Hulu, we really have a lot of Hulu's now more of a partner for us, and they've been great, and they really challenge us. And if there's something that we're incredibly passionate about, we passionately challenge them. And sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, but ultimately ultimately we end up with a product that we're all really proud of. So so far it's been a phenomenal partnership.
One more thing about The Binge, Jerry, before we let you go. I noticed in some of the clips you have scenes that take place in a high school gym. There's scenes that take place in a local bar, local hangout. How much cooperation do you get from the local authorities in Syracuse if you do film on location at a local high school, at a local watering hole? What kind of cooperation do you get from local authorities to do your thing?
Well, it's an ongoing battle, as you know. Like local authorities, there's politics are very divided, so we get a lot of support from some people, and a lot of people don't really love what it is we're doing. But that being said, we own a high school, so our company bought an abandoned vacant high school here, so we have a lot more freedom than a normal company that's just going in to try and rent out space for to shoot in a high school or a local watering hole. We build sets in our high school that we can shoot. So to answer the question, we have a lot of freedom for things that we're shooting within the high school itself that we control. And, for the most part, the local authorities have been incredibly supportive of our endeavors, minus a couple of people. But other than that, we've been doing pretty well.
Tell you what, it's always nice to have a high school building in the fold when you need it for the kind of work that you do, Jeremy. Absolutely, congratulations on that. The name of the movie is The Binge, and it premieres on Hulu this Friday among smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. So chances are, if you're one of the 80% of households that have smart TV sets and smart devices, chances are you have Hulu. For more details about the film and the service online, here's where you go, www.hulu.com. It's www.hulu.com, The Binge, premiering this Friday. Jeremy Garrett, the producer and director of the movie, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations to you and your American Eye company for making it happen. And if you do another TV movie with your firm, we would love to have you back. And by the way, great that you are making things happen in Syracuse. That's where my parents come from. My grandmother comes from there. Always been big fans of that city. And it's really delighted to see film and TV production really grow there. Thanks to people like you.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Jeremy. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too.
Jeremy Gaylord, producer and director of The Binge, joining us live from the home of the Orangemen, Syracuse, New York. More than Bobby Televised coming your way, but first some words from the wonderful people at Audible.com. If you missed DC fan base over the weekend, Neil Gaiman was in town, and virtual town that is, and he said, guess what? Sandman is about to resume production for Netflix, and that long-awaited series based on his iconic character will probably happen and reach you via Netflix in 2021. However, you don't have to wait till next year to make it happen and hear about the Sandman, because you can hear about it through Audible.com. One of the great novels based on that terrific character is now available and ready for you with a one-month trial to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information, inspiration too. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device and whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook. You also get, for a limited time only, health and wellness material and a one-month trial of the service with great customer service and Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Oh, get this. If you are an Amazon Prime customer already and you subscribe to Audible.com, you get a second book as well. And that book, by the way, can be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio productions, one-woman, one-man performances, and the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from all over the place. And all for you. So how about making this week or this weekend a great opportunity for you or someone you know to get the gift of Audible.com and to find out immediately how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know can hear the world. Again, for that free audio book, or two if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, one-month trial, one material more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow Televised. We have a program all about the tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Also there on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and also on podcasts on Apple TV and iTunes as well. Don't forget, 1 week from Monday, our lead guest will be Jessica Goldberg, the showrunner of the brand-new Netflix series Away. It's an astronaut drama about the first manned mission to Mars, and it stars two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank. And we are making it so special that we're bringing it to you 2 hours later than normal. So don't forget the special start time a week from today, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. When we come back, more from Hulu. In this case, The worldwide sensation Find Me in Paris just started season 3. We will go live to Paris to hear one of the creators, that's Joe Grilling, and we'll go to Canada for the other, that's Lori Mather Welch. They'll both be with us live. Plus our classic trivia question segment 2. So stick around. You could be in a position to win not one, but two prizes. All coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. Speaker.com, TuneIn.com. Together, reaching over 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget that TuneIn Radio is your home for the ongoing coronavirus news channel. All the latest element updates on what's going on with the coronavirus pandemic around the world, plus original podcasts, other material as well. And your chance to interact with the reporting going on. That's the coronavirus news channel, 24/7 in operation, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of today's Tomorrow Talks episode on this August Monday of 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 89 degrees at the top of the hour. Once again, for everybody down in the Mississippi, southern Mississippi, southern Louisiana, be on guard for Tropical Storm Marco. It will probably hit somewhere in your woods this evening or early tomorrow morning. If you need to, go to higher ground, do, and stay in touch, of course, with your local authorities as well as the Weather Channel, broadcast cable systems, and much, much more. And, of course, here at Blog Talk Radio and TuneIn Radio as well. If you have questions or comments for our guests ahead, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, DreamKilla06 is already in the room. As we noted, today is an all-Hulu showcase day. We did a movie in our first half hour. Now we're doing a series in our second. It is the worldwide sensation Find Me in Paris. It just entered its third season on Hulu. It is seen in more than 100 countries worldwide, and it is one of the biggest sensations in TV across the globe. Joining us live from different locations are the two people who make Find Me in Paris go. They are creators and head writers. First of all, joining us live from Paris is Jill Gerling. Hello, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Very fine, thank you. And joining both of us from Lancaster, Ontario, in Canada, is your fellow co-creator and co-conspirator in all this, Rory Mather-Welch. Rory, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a real treat.
Same here. And again, Joe, thanks for joining us in Paris, where it is now mid-pond time as we speak, where you are. Joe, what's been the reaction so far from Hulu fans and from around the world to season 3?
We are thrilled with the reaction. The fans are loving it. They're really only seeing it in a few countries right now. So we sort of we do a Hulu release in a few countries in Europe, and then it sort of goes over a course of several months. So we get reactions all year, which is really exciting for us.
Lori, when you and Jill launched this, and we'll talk about what got you to launch this about 3-4 years ago, did you, either of you, ever expect that it was going to have this kind of impact on global television?
It's a dream come true. We definitely hoped that it would have this kind of impact, but it really has been a journey of complete awe and delight for both of us.
Jill, how did the journey for you and Lori start?
Well, Lori and I, we've been working together for over 15 years. Lori approached me about working as writing partners, and I was a little nervous at first, but I thought, let's try it. And we did, and the rest is history. We've worked together ever since. But in terms of this show, we were given an opportunity. Our agent called us and said, you know, I want you to take a call with these producers in Paris. And that's all we really needed to hear. We just heard the Paris part, and we were in. And when we got on the phone with David Michel and Zoe Carrera from Cottonwood Media, we all just sort of instantly hit it off. And they had partnered with the Paris Opera Ballet and wanted to do a show about the school and the ballet company, and they wanted an element of mystery. So we were pitching, and a bunch of other writers were pitching, and we put forward 3 ideas. And this is the one that we liked the most and the one that we sort of fine-tuned the most. And we were thrilled and delighted when it was chosen.
Mm-hmm. Lori, what are some of the shows or projects that you and Jill have done before this? And how did those projects prepare you for doing this one?
Well, we were really fortunate to work on another tween series called Ride right before this. So we got to really get our workflow down and how to produce exciting television for this age group. We had sort of the rehearsal before we hit this show, because this schedule was madness and really tested us. Both on the writing side and on set, the pace was crazy, and we really had to like keep on our toes to keep delivering. We went season after season, so it was quite a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Jill, for people who have not seen Find Me in Paris, this is all about a ballet dancer who is taking ballet school, except for one very important thing. Originally, she's taking this several centuries earlier than right now. And because of you take it from there.
Well, Lena's a princess in 1905 who's going to the Paris Opera Ballet School. And she's fallen head over heels for the janitor's son, Henry. And because of her status as a princess and his status as a janitor's son, they really weren't supposed to be together. But one of her rivals reported the information to her parents, and they were coming to get her. But before a big performance, Henry gives Lena a gift of a necklace, neither of them having any idea that the necklace is magic. And they go running through a door. They let go of each other's hand, and Lena runs directly onto the same stage into the future. So Lena's gone from 1905 to 2018, and Henry's left behind, and his mission is to get her back. So while Lena's in the future, she's doing her best to fit in, and by the time Henry arrives to bring her home, she's not so sure she wants to come back.
So you have, Lori, that fish out of water element, that element of how do I belong in this different time period, yet still practice my craft and make good in it. And also, there's this thing of who do you love, ultimately? Do you love somebody in this time period, or do you continue to love the person that you loved earlier in the last century?
Oh, for sure. It is completely full of teen angst. Lena's in a real situation because she is such an old-fashioned girl shoved in our modern-day times with modern-day teenagers, and she really has to navigate both the dance side and just being a teenager from the past in present day. And for sure, the two boys in her life caused her, you know, some elation, some grief. For a long time, she can only communicate with Henry through letters on the roof of the Garnier, and she's hanging on to two lives, and it's not until she's really forced to make a decision that she'll make one.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Find Me in Paris. Now it's third season on Hulu, which started this past weekend, and that means it's available on smart TV sets and smart devices near you in the United States, but it's also being seen in other countries around the world as well. And we've got the two co-creators and head writers of the series with us, live from Paris, where it is now mid-prime time, their time, is Joe Gurley. From Ontario, Canada, is Lori Mather-Welch. And they're both with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for either or both, make that call for us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later, before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question segment. We'll give you the answer to the question that really stumped a lot of people out there over the last 2 weeks. And we have a brand new question for you with not one, but two prizes in play. So stay tuned, get the thinking caps on. You could be our next winner if you've got the correct answer in mind. Jill, how long did it take to find the person who plays Leela?
This is actually an amazing story. So we did casting both in Canada and the UK and in France, but Lori and I were in Toronto doing casting in Toronto, and our casting director, Amy Wright, took us aside and said, look, I've got a young girl who's doing an internship with me. She's going to get us our coffee and our lunch during the week, but she's a great dancer and a really good actress, and I think she might be right for Lena. So let's not tell her. But if you're interested, you know, no pressure, but see what you think. So in walks Jessica Lord on the first day of casting, and she's gorgeous and adorable and a sweetheart. And she was, you know, she was our coffee girl and bringing in the other dancers and actors to do their auditions, and had no idea that we were watching her. So we would get her to read Lena's part with other people, people who were auditioning for Thea or Jeff. And it was great when we got her and Castle to do, they didn't know they were doing a chemistry test together, but they were. And so by the end of the first week, we told her, we just said, hey, are you interested in auditioning for Lena? And I think she just about had a heart attack. And she came in and she absolutely killed it. I can't imagine another Lena. Like, she did an amazing, amazing job. But her audition was fantastic, and everyone in Paris loved her. All the networks loved her. And she went from our coffee girl to our Lena Griffke.
Now, here's a very interesting twist to this story and to Jessica's tale, because Find Me in Paris is not the first time that Jessica has been in a dance role on a television series. Earlier, she was one of the dancers on a show called The Next Step, a very popular series that was produced in Canada and that for a while was seen for one season on the CW. Lori, you're based in Canada. Did you know about that? Did you know about Jessica's early work on Next Step?
I did, but I had not seen it. So when I met her, I didn't have a preconceived notion of her amazing ability or talent. So I'm grateful for that, because she really had the opportunity to wow us, and she did. And it's not even just her talent. Jessica just was Lena. Like, everything about her, both in front of the camera and off the camera, just was this character that had only existed in our minds. So it was really great.
I tell you, when you see Jessica in action, I've seen a lot of clips from various seasons of Find Me, you are really impressed with A, her acting, B, her dancing. She is very versatile. This is not somebody who just comes in and does posing. She really dances, and she not only dances ballet in the second season, third season, I believe, she also learns how to do modern dance and hip-hop, because there's a side plot also with that. And I'm wondering, did she have to do a lot to not only impress both of you, but also impress the Paris Opera Ballet people, who apparently, as you said, had a big hand in putting this show together?
She was an amazing hip-hop dancer before, so that was all great. But with the Paris Opera Ballet Company, it was difficult for all of our dancers, because even though Jessica was a really good ballet dancer, there's a difference between being a good ballet dancer and being Paris Opera Ballet trained. So all of the dancers, even the really good ones like Jessica, had doubles for our big dance sequences. But she did impress them. They all did. They all went from, they grew so much as dancers at each season, and I know that the ballet was really impressed with what they did.
Lori, I understand that you and Jill wrote the majority of scripts of the first season. I learned that from Wikipedia. Was that? It sounds like both of you were like Rod Serling, like writing most of the scripts, if not all the scripts. Was that the same thing with seasons 2 and 3, or did you let other people have an opportunity to join the party?
We did do the majority of the scripts in the following seasons, but we did also have a writer's room with some really strong writers that helped us out and each took a couple of episodes. It was really important for Jill and I, especially with the schedule that we had to work with and just how her and I worked together, to be able to track the through line while one of us is in Canada with the writer's room and the other one is on set running production. So it's all often easier for us to keep all that in our head when we have, like, the majority of the scripts in this case, especially because the speed we were writing and shooting was unlike anything I've ever experienced.
And with that speed, Jill, what did you and Lori learn about how far you could go with the scripts? What subject matter could you cover? Were there certain things about, you know, socially fitting in or dealing with issues that ballet dance or dancers in general have to deal with that you were surprised that you could cover in a plot? and yet keep the show with the pace, with the large ensemble cast, you know, running the way you wanted to?
I mean, we were really lucky that we had such strong actors and many, many characters. So we were able to sort of take a few of them off in different directions and do different storylines all throughout the show. We couldn't, you know, we can't be too political with this show because we do have a younger audience. So our romances are pretty innocent and all of that, but it's all about the relationships between people and the fight for to be the best dancer, and we've had injuries and all of that stuff, heartbreak. We were able to cover a lot for a kids show. And I think Lori is too, one of the things we're most proud of is that we have two openly gay characters on the show, that we, you know, on a kids show, that's not done a lot. And it wasn't about coming out episodes or episodes about being gay. It just happened to be two characters who were boys who were dating each other. And I think, I hope we get to see a lot more of that in kids TV.
We're certainly seeing it in different places, both in live action and in animated TV. Shows like Andy Mack, a number of the animated shows that pop like Steven Universe have dealt with gay, lesbian themes that everyone can understand. It doesn't like hit you over the head. It comes out natural. And it seems that that's something that in the last couple of years, shows like yours and others have really tried to do it in a natural way, and not call attention to these characters are gay. Oh, these characters are lesbian. Oh, the, you know, so on and so forth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going into season three, there is a bit of a twist, I understand, involving the time travel.
There is, but we cannot reveal what that twist is yet. I don't want to spoil her. But yes, there are lots of twists in season three and lots of roller coasters that our cast members get on.
Yeah. I saw this morning a clip, and the clip seemed to suggest that there was a cliffhanger at the end of season two where our heroine and other people, too, lose their memory. So they have no memory of the time travel. And I think that's what I was referring to.
That is true. We can't say too much about it because we don't want to ruin it for a lot of the kids who haven't been able to see it yet, because not everybody has the opportunity to watch Hulu, but it's a fun little twist. It's something we've never done before. So there's a lot of comedy and there's some sad moments in that too, because Lena doesn't necessarily remember everybody.
We are speaking with the creators and head writers of the popular series from around the world, Find Me in Paris, just started its third season this past Friday on Hulu here in the United States. Jill Byrne is live with us from Gay Paris, and Roy Rutherford is live from Lancaster, Ontario, Canada, both with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it's now 89 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a question or comment in our final remaining moments with both of our creators. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, our next episode of the week for Monday, coming your way at a special time, 2 hours later, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific. Our special lead guest, Jessica Goldberg, the showrunner of the brand new Netflix series that premieres in September, Away, featuring two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank. It's an astronaut drama about the first manned mission to Mars. Jessica Goldberg, you may remember that she was on this program a long time ago when she did her first TV series creation, The Path, on Hulu with Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad fame in a lead role. Great series, ran 3 seasons, a lot of great reviews for her. She was with us, and she's very excited about being with us a week from today, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you remember that time and tell your friends to tune us in. It's going to be a very special interview next Monday here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. There has been some on and off speculation that this is the final season of Find Me in Paris. Now, give us the exact sense of where we're at.
You know, nothing's been solidified yet. We're certainly happy with where we took the characters. If it does end up being the last season, but we're not 100% sure yet.
Mm-hmm. Has there been thoughts, no matter what, about a spinoff or taking one of the characters and developing a series for that person, or doing something of a similar theme?
Oh, you're sneaky. I would love to divulge everything, but I can't. Yes, we have lots of stuff on our deck right now, on our plates. We are developing like crazy, especially during this really special time in the world. But I can't tell you. I can't tell you yet. But yes, we have lots of with no shortage of ideas, and there's lots of places we still want to go, especially in the tween space, because we love this age and we love these characters. And so, yes.
Well, to paraphrase the Maltese Falcon, it's the stuff that return visits to our show to talk about it are made of. Final question for both of you. What are you most proud of? Whether this is the third season, the last season or not, what are you most proud of about this series and the worldwide appeal that it's drawn?
For me, I have four kids in my house, and I really, both Jill and I really wanted to make a show for this age group that didn't talk down to them, that really offered them a adult television look and tone with themes that are resonating with them. And I'm most proud of personally of watching my little pod watch the show and them being proud that we did tackle issues that they're going through now, and that was really important for me.
No. Anything else?
For me, I agree with everything Lori said, although I don't have four kids at home. But I'm really active on social media with the fans, and I had no idea how much impact the show would have on all of these young kids. It really means a lot to them, and we would be nothing without them. So I'm really proud that it reached so many kids on so many levels. And, you know, we always thought that it was going to be a younger audience, but we have teenagers who love the show. And a lot of them have written to me about just how much it's meant to them and how, you know, when they're down, it's the show that sort of, it's really helped them deal with their own issues. And I think that's really what I'm most proud of.
And I'll add one more thing. I think you're going to see a lot more of Jessica Lord in the future. I think she has a fantastic career ahead of her. And if you haven't seen her work on Find Me in Paris, as well as The Next Step, you ought to, just for that. And I might add, the rest of the cast is marvelous too, both acting and dancing. And the dance sequences, I want to say also, very well done. Kudos to the choreographers as well as the cinematographers and everybody on the production team for making that go. Find Me in Paris, Season 3. You can catch it now on Hulu. Check your local listings where Hulu is available in your area on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the program and the network online, go to www.hulu.com. That's where you can also find out about The Binge, the movie that we highlighted earlier. And Find Me in Paris has its own website as well. Let's give it to you. It is findmeinparis.com. There's clips, biographies, plot lines, blog, all sorts of great things for you. Findmeinparis.com. That's findmeinparis.com. Joe Berling live from Paris. Lori Mather Welsh live from Lancaster, Ontario, Canada. Thank you both very much for being with us. Congratulations on making it to a third season and the wonderful reaction it's had on Hulu and all over the world. The very best to you, your cast and crew, and hopefully we will hear more from you down the road. You are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
You got it, Lori. You are welcome. All the greatest. Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Jill Bowen joining us live from Paris, France, and Lori Mather-Welsh joining us live from Lancaster, Ontario, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We had a great question in the last 2 weeks, and nobody got it, so nobody picked up our prize, the wonderful best-selling book, personally now included by Rose Regala. The question, name the first or last television series starring Anthony Franciosa. We told you that from the mid-1960s to the mid-1980s, he starred in five television series. The first was the comedy Valentine's Day, half-hour star Jack Sue, a Flower Jump song and Bonnie Miller fame, put in by Hal Kanner, later did the blockbuster and groundbreaking Diane Carroll comedy Julia. That was in 1964-65 on ABC, and was also on ABC that his last television series was done. Executive produced by Aaron Spelling, Finder of Lost Love, 1984-85. So those were the answers. Valentine's Day, the first series, Finder of Lost Love, the last, and in between, there was The Name of the Game in the late 1960s. There was Search in the early 1970s, and late 1970s, Matt Helm, the Ian Howe character, was also on ABC. So now let's bring you our latest classic trivia question, and if you're first with the correct answer, not only will you win, personality not included, but also Cesar Millan, Love My Pitbull, a wonderful CD of his programming on Nat Geo Wild. Here's the question. One of the longest-running comedies in TV history was The Danny Thomas Show, also known as Make Room for Daddy. You still see the reruns, I think, on MeTV and other places. And in that show, there were two people who played his wife. One was Gene Hagen. You know her, of course, from being Dixie Lena Lamont in Singing in the Rain. She won an Oscar nomination for it, very well deserved. And then there was Marjorie Lord after a year or so away. But there were also two daughters in that series. One was played by Angela Cartwright. We want to know who was the first, and that's our question. Name the original daughter of Danny Thomas on Make Room for Daddy. Name the original daughter of Danny Thomas on Make Room for Daddy, or The Danny Thomas Show. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from, and your first with the correct answer, you will win the best-selling book, personally not included, by Rod Fergava, and Cesar Millan, Love My Pitbull, a CD from Nat Geo Wild. And remember to include your name, your full mailing address. If we don't get an answer by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook. Simon Apple Bama is where you find it. And on Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, gotta be in the win, so play in, and all the very best. By the way, if you won before, let somebody else do so. We're going for our fifth winner in the last 7-8 weeks or so. So let's see if we make it happen. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's see what happens today. Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's the email you use for the answer. Want to thank all of our Hulu guests for being with us today and all of you for tuning in. We'll be back on Friday at a regular time. And then next Monday, special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, with Jeffrey Goldberg, the showrunner of the new Hilary Swank starring Netflix astronaut drama, Away. If you came in late on today's program or catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. What did you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going? Email me, find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. And remember, we do respond how you respond. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Block Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is BTR's Mandolin. Andy Toast, Block Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is executive head of content. And the co-founders are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's televised is brought to you by Oil.com and Amazon Division. Remember, where we'll transform the way you hear the world for a free book, wellness material, and more. It's audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow's televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. If you're in the area of Tropical Storm Marco, please, if you need to go to higher ground, do. And also that goes to those of you that may be impacted later in the week by Tropical Storm, possibly Category 1 to Hurricane Laura. Please follow the advice of local authorities. Keep checking in the Blog Talk Radio, the Weather Channel, other places, and let's all get through this together. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Wherever you are, I hope you have a wonderful week. And please, wherever you are, be safe and follow those guidelines when it comes to the pandemic because we're going to lick it now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.